Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Minimizing Risk Through Business Continuity and Disaster Recovery. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and include a question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how IBM Tivoli Business Continuity Process Manager, IBM Tivoli System Automation, GDPS, IBM Business Continuity and Resiliency Services, and Coop Systems work together so that you can leverage advanced automation and industry-leading processes to rapidly recover from a system outage or disaster. The speakers for today's teleconference are Allison Ferguson, Automation Solutions Product Manager, IBM Tivoli Software, and Linda Long, BCRS Global Methods and Tools Development Manager. At this time, I'll turn the conference over to Allison Ferguson. Allison, go ahead.
Thank you, Dahlia, and good morning, good afternoon, or good evening to everyone who's listening to today's teleconference. Our topic today is minimizing risk through business continuity and disaster recovery process management and planning. I'm Allison Ferguson, and I'm the product manager responsible for automation solutions for high availability and business continuity for the Tivoli portfolio. During today's teleconference, I have the pleasure of discussing business continuity with a colleague of mine who has a wealth of experience in this area. So, Linda, would you like to tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Well, thanks, Allison, and welcome to the audience today. I'm very excited to be here with you talking about the subject. As the operator mentioned, I am a managing consultant for Business Continuity and Resiliency Services, or nicknamed BCRS. You know us IBMers, we got to always have an acronym. I've been with BCRS about 10 years, and I specialize in business continuity, disaster recovery planning, and I've been doing that for over 17 years. So as you can see, I've done that both prior to joining IBM as helping my companies build programs, as well as internally. And that gives me quite a background because I feel like I've been able to perform all facets of the disaster recovery and business continuity lifecycle that we'll be discussing today. Currently, I'm responsible for capturing the methods and tools that our worldwide practice use, and that's what we're going to be sharing and talking about today, along with some of the Tivoli products, too. So, Allison, let's go ahead and get started.
Great. Thanks, Linda. So now let's turn our attention to the topic at hand. So if we look at slide two, today we're going to look at some of the challenges that the world is experiencing first and how business continuity lifecycle can help mitigate risks and those challenges, and we'll look at the future of business continuity as well. So let's start the discussion by looking at some real-life situations. If we go to slide three, with each day, we know that the world changes. Every day, something happens that's different than before. The environment that we inhabit has ever increasing exposures. Most of the infrastructure in the world today, think of things like roads, railways, plumbing, wiring, and such. These things that we use every day and take for granted are, in fact, in excess of 30 or 40 years old in some cases. In some areas of the world, they're much, much older than that. The resources in major cities around the world can be so stretched that they simply cannot expand any further. It's no secret that the U.S. infrastructure is in decay. Roads, bridges, and leaking dams are just some of the problems that we face. Most of these things have been built in the 20th century during a time when construction was great around the world. The continent was wired for electricity and phone service through colossal projects, including the Hoover Dam, things like the Golden Gate Bridge, and our interstate highway system, along with lots and lots and lots of other projects. Our lives today are interconnected like they never have been before, with supply chain dependencies knitted together not just across a single city or regions, but sometimes all around the globe. In most businesses, regulations and standards keep entire legal and compliance departments busy just staying current with the changes and research required to help the businesses that are affected. Add to those things the heightened impact of business disruptions or security lapses in a society where news travels at the speed of light on 24-hour accessible news networks, and you have the ingredients to make a sizzling news story that can severely affect the reputation and brand image of, you know, a single company just overnight. To manage these risks, companies must differentiate their products and services to help drive growth, contain costs through comprehensive business resilience strategies and planning, utilize assets better to improve operational efficiency, improve responsiveness by managing risks and more effectively. In short, these businesses must become resilient companies in a risky world. So, Linda, how do most companies begin the process of moving to resilience?
Well, Allison, you're right. It is definitely a process. What's a process meaning something that companies have to do on an ongoing basis, something that becomes part of the fabric of the way that they do business every day. You know, it's just like our own lives. Hopefully we don't wait until we're seriously ill to start taking care of ourselves, right? We try and maintain our health every day. Well, at least we try to do exercise, eat right, et cetera. But sometimes it's a scare that helps you focus on your health. And for some businesses, it's a scare or a threat that is the wake-up call. So the chart on page 4 is a really good way to visualize some of the very specific threats, you know, the things that you can't prevent from happening that may affect a business. Now, in this case, they're placed on an X and Y axis of this chart, and they're listed by frequency of occurrence by year and a potential impact if they occur. Now, it's interesting how they group themselves, isn't it? For ease of discussion today, we've identified them in categories: data-driven, business-driven, and event-driven. So what do we mean by that? Well, during data-driven events, such as virus attacks, data corruption, application outages, network problems, you can minimize your exposure if you fully understand and prepare for or even prevent the event from becoming disastrous. The same can be said for business-driven risks, such as audits, new product rollouts, future marketing promotions, or even failure to meet industry standards. If you're prepared for these events, you're in an even better position to react faster, meet requirements, and often exceed your customers' expectations. Now, last, the event-driven risks, such as natural disasters, regional power outages, acts of war, or even economic downturn, can be minimized. Now, if you identify these vulnerabilities and plan accordingly, if your resilience strategy plans for these events, the actual impact to your business can be reduced. So this illustration helps to provide an overview of specific data, business, and event-driven risks, as well as some estimated monetary consequences. You'll see the curve on this chart follows an approximation of cost of outage. Consider that the small cost outages that happen more frequently have been reasonably well addressed by technology, such as antivirus software or firewalls. Disk failure and data corruption problems have also been reduced or eliminated by technology-related solutions. Using a good investigation of risk and threats to your organization, the organization can now address business and event disruptions that are most likely to affect them should they occur, and, of course, prioritize as part of the process to becoming more resilient. Because, you know, sometimes risks and threats come from unusual sources. Let's look at some examples on page 5. Now, if a company is not actively managing their risks and an outage occurs, there are real impacts. And here are just a few that have been in the news in the recent months to the last year. In the upper left-hand corner, customers were turned away from a company's shared hosting service after a 3-day outage that was caused by a storage system failure. So the storage that they were using in their architecture failed. They cited horrible customer service and lost e-business opportunities. Their customers just left them, turned away. And that was just March, about this time frame last year. In the upper right, we had multiple data centers in the Seattle area that went offline after a fire in an electrical vault. Matt left much of the complex without power and was running on generator support where they had it installed. Now, the largest impact here was extended downtime for a payment processing portal that was offline. Thousands of merchants were unable to process their credit card payments through their website, and that caused a numerous financial impact. In the lower left, this refers to a number of news stories that hit the wire back in February of last year where Gmail, I'm a customer, I love them, but they had outages, numerous outages. It made quite a news flash. And this is a story that was really quickly spread, almost at light speed via our friend Twitter and Facebook and some of the social networking tools, technical blogs. Immediately, they almost became aware of their outage because of their customers twitting about it. Hopefully, I converted that verb correctly. Last but not least, in the lower right-hand corner, another communications vendor, service outage affected users nationwide, T-Mobile. People reported that all their calls were failing with busy tones or were just getting dropped, even though they had all their bars. Again, this is an illustration where Twitter and technical forums and things just help spread the news of the outages and kind of give a temperature to the effects, the impact to the customers almost immediately. And as I mentioned, you know, these kinds of outages and many, many more that we see in the headlines all the time have real impacts. On page 6 are just a few that have come from surveys that might be interesting to some of our listeners. I always try and bring things like this home when I go to conversations like this or teleconferences, because these little facts will help me build a business case when I was doing this externally. So it's good to know, and it's important to prove to our management that real-life examples, the common denominator is impact or the effect, because disruptions, no matter how they are caused, whatever threat it was, you know, can have an enormous impact on our businesses. You know, in some industries, like the finance or insurance industries, two of our more mature business continuity industries, if you will, you know, they measure impact and loss of real dollars sometimes as quickly as in the first hours or even minutes of an interruption. You know, you can imagine a trading floor that can't move money for its customers. You know, profit and loss is measured in minutes in those kind of businesses. So when you couple that with the cost to cut out the pressures that we face today, well, then we need to be making investments to protect our business. And the challenges of executing and managing a business continuity and disaster recovery program, you know, are multiplied. Did you know in a recent Forrester survey, when IT security decision makers were asked to select the top three challenges for business continuity management, a third replied that their overall BC program was underfunded. Another third replied that their program was too focused just on disaster recovery, that kind of lower right-hand side of the chart, the doesn't happen often but big impact stuff. And the other third said they just hadn't formalized their program at all.
You know, Linda, it's kind of scary that so many customers haven't addressed the broader spectrum of risks and threats that you mentioned a couple of slides ago.
Well, and that's absolutely true, and it's really all about finding the right balance of risk versus impact. So let's talk a little bit about that on page 7. As I said, it's finding the right balance of investment in risk mitigating solution. That's really the focus and the key to success in these very hard economic times. Have you ever heard of the adage or the old story, wives' tale sometimes? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure? Well, underinvesting can result in spending money by not really spending any money, you know, because you're increasing the risk to your business should an outage occur. And if that event occurs, you have to think, will you be able to bear the cost of recovery at the time of the event? And the cost of recovery can be often far greater than the cost of prevention. Now, on the other hand, let's be real, overinvestment results in excess solution costs. So by overspending on, let's say, unnecessarily high levels of protection, you incur lost opportunity as well as expense and risk. So the graph on slide 7 provides an illustration of what we can term resilience optimization, where the levels of resilience are shown on the bottom of the graph, with lower levels on the left, that's in red, which reads cost resulting from risk loss events, and the higher levels on the right, that's in blue, which reads cost of all mitigation solutions are employed. The arrow in the center of the graph shows the optimum resilience risk balance. This type of analysis, often called a business impact analysis, can help your business separate its business wants from its business needs. And this is really the beginning of the process a company should go through to begin to minimize risk through business continuity and disaster recovery process management and planning. It positions them to be pretty smart, right, Allison?
Absolutely, Linda. And on page 8, you've probably already heard about IBM's cross-enterprise focus on helping the world become a smarter planet. You've probably seen at least a few Smarter Planet commercials on television or advertisements in the newspapers. The benefits of an instrumented, interconnected, and intelligent planet are exponential. But it's critical to understand that increased risk, complexity, and ultimately the larger impact of the cost of downtime. Our planet is becoming more and more intelligent, more instrumented, and more interconnected every single day. The benefits of a smarter planet are, as I said, exponential, but these benefits can also bring additional risk and complexity and increase the impact of downtime. As you can imagine, in an interconnected ecosystem of handheld devices supporting the delivery of patient care, for example, or safely landing one of the thousands of planes daily just here in the U.S., how one error, one human error, or one system-driven error can cause a chain of negative effects and outcomes. To be smart in this new world, resiliency has never been more necessary. From having a resiliency strategy to ensuring continuous business operations and around-the-clock global delivery, to demonstrating speed and agility when an unforeseen event strikes, that's smarter resiliency.
Well, you're right, Allison. Resiliency has never been more necessary. But I think we need to be honest. You know, resiliency is a goal. And for some companies, you know, it can even be a goal that may be really way down the road, far away. So let's concentrate now on what we want to talk about, which is how to get to a smart resiliency, but with tangible, you know, tactical planning and business continuity process management steps. You know, things we can do today to get positioned for resiliency. And of course, we want to introduce some tools to help automate the process and perhaps reduce costs and increase that efficiency.
Since the earliest days of planning, we've had plenty of those types of challenges.
Right, exactly. So on page 10, as we move into the second section here, we've kind of shown some of the challenges. And as I mentioned earlier, I've been doing this for well over 17 years now, and both inside and outside of IBM, and personally, you know, I've battled every one of these challenges on this chart. So I'm really used to people literally ducking into their offices when I come walking down the hall because, you know, they know I'm looking for, you know, their updated procedures, or maybe I'm trying to schedule a test over a weekend when their wife had something planned. Anyway, you know, our teams, our people, they're busier than ever before, and we're all being asked to do more with less. So how do we meet and conquer these challenges with fewer people, less time, and really less money? And on page 11, we're going to start to talk now about the business continuity process life cycle in more detail, because it all starts with a very solid action plan built on proven methods and leverages vetted assets and where possible, automated tools that help standardize the process as well as the output. So let's look at how we can move through this business continuity life cycle, shown here as a circle.
So, Linda, why is it a circle?
Well, let's see. I guess unlike a project, you know, that has a definite beginning and an end, the business continuity life cycle is really part of a program, something that once it's started never ends, well, it should never end. As I mentioned, you know, right at the top, it's because it needs to become part of the fabric of life at that company or organization. The more integrated the processes are with the way the company does business, then interruptions decrease and, or even hopefully are eliminated. And that's really the goal of resilience, you know, to rapidly adapt to respond to risks as well as opportunities. And that's a new facet introduced with resilience, so that we can maintain continuous business operations and be a more trusted business partner and enable growth. Basically, we just can never let our guard down. So the business continuity life cycle here, shown as a circle, illustrates that it doesn't matter where you start in this process, but once you're in the circle, you really got to keep going. And ideally, it's best to start with a solid understanding of the company, its business direction, and the relative risks and impacts that we've touched on. So let's go ahead and break each one down section by section. On page 12, let's start with the analysis phase. It always helps to identify and assess inherent business and IT risks and to quantify, well, to the extent possible, the impact due to interruption. I like to say this phase helps the business leaders separate wants from needs. And that means because if you simply ask any human being, when do you need your business process operational or your application back running, well, you're going to get an answer like, well, that can never go down. I need it right now. I need it within minutes or definitely not more than an hour. Well, mitigation solutions must be based on a solid understanding of the risk inherent in every environment so the company's risk appetite can be identified. The identification happens through industry standard analyses like business impact analyses or risk assessments. And these basic building blocks are a great way to understand from the business's point of view what is needed and when to maintain an acceptable level of service. You know, the key to a successful analysis phase is staying out of what we call analysis paralysis. We never get to the end. We never get to a decision. But at the same time, we have to make sure that we're getting the information that we really need. That's difficult if you've never done one of these analyses. Also, you can rely on, the internet for templates, but, what are you going to do with the answers? How do you know how to react to the answers? So it is possible to employ professionals, and, of course, we do have our resiliency consulting services area within BCRF, and we use very timely, very proven methods and intellectual capital that helps us identify, quantify, and prioritize those business and IT risks. Then they use this information in later phases to develop solutions, as well as implement the solution to address those risks. The Resiliency Consulting Services Group employs a very methodical approach to plan and procedure development, which is yet to come. And it's based on the information coming out of this analysis phase. And they're very experienced and they're very knowledgeable.
Well, Linda, I see on the right side of this slide that there's something that's labeled COOP Systems BCM Software. So what's that?
Okay. That's an example of one way that we can partner with software vendors to help through this analysis phase and through capturing this data to put it right into a plan or a solution. COOP Systems is a business partner worldwide with BCRS, and they've teamed with us to provide the automation and help us deploy a standardized approach across the globe. Their software is very agile and very lightweight and aligns with our business continuity life cycle that we followed for years and years. And it helps our consultants to apply our standard analysis and plan organization to every engagement. And that just helps us be quicker and much more efficient. It also allows customers who choose to purchase the software to reduce their training time as well as disperse the maintenance among the teams who must maintain and execute the continuity plans later. And we'll talk more about that in that phase. Some clients want to use a tool to not only help with the initial analysis, but to help them repeat it year after year. That's that circle coming back again, isn't it?
That's right.
Okay, so let's move on to the second phase in our circle here. We're going to look at the design phase. Once we fully understand the risk and impact, and it's agreed upon, we must design a master solution that integrates both the business and the IT areas. The design phase defines the integration of IT and business strategies and creates plans to ensure enterprise-wide protection. From that strategy, That's where we're going to get our detailed recovery options and the tasks and the procedures that have to be developed, stored, and maintained so they're ready to execute at any minute. So it sounds like another great place to use a tool, right, Allison?
Right. It sounds like a tool could be very useful here, Linda. So in this design phase, couldn't our customers get some assistance from trained professionals and make use of tools like MyCoop to gather the data required to design the strategy which results in the plan?
Oh, correct, yes. You know, business continuity is just, it's just not an IT problem anymore like it was even 10 to 15, 20 years ago. The trend is most definitely to move business continuity or disaster recovery, resilience, whatever you want to call it, you know, under a full-fledged risk management program with the business continuity manager reporting to maybe the risk officer or who then reports to the CEO or the board of directors. So a comprehensive integrated end-to-end solution is a must, and this includes the detailed execution of that strategy in the form of plans, procedures, scripts, and documentation.
And this is where Tivoli Business Continuity Process Manager also comes in. It helps to reduce human error by helping clients document and then execute continuity actions with situational information routing the strategy at the lowest levels needed to execute the recovery plan.
Right. So we gather the data we need in a tool like MyCoop and then use Tivoli's BCPM to execute those plans. But we're probably getting a little ahead of ourselves there. Let's go to page 14 and talk about validation. Because until that strategy that we just designed is validated, no one can be assured that it meets the business expectations and will protect the company in the long run. I mean, you want to validate the strategy and the procedures without production interruption and with using as just the minimal amount of personnel time. More often, you might be used to hearing this called exercise or testing. Regardless of what you call it, it's making sure that we have validated, exercised that solution, you know, on a regular basis, hopefully without production interruption, that is crucial to ensuring that the strategy works and that the documentation supports the plan and the strategy. And also, it's another important facet that the personnel are trained through this validation and exercising process to make sure that they're confident about how to execute. It's really in the design phase where we picked the strategy. We also will have to make some decisions on where to recover our systems and people and how to protect our data. We've made all those decisions back in the design phase. And the kind of solution might include, you know, data replication or, you know, good old-fashioned tape backup. And all of this stuff has to blend and meet the expectations for what the business defined for us in the first phase as recovery or continuity or even high availability. So luckily, you know, BCRS provides dedicated and shared solutions from over 154 sites around the world. Everything from replicas of trading environments for financial firms, to manage production sites for failover and load balancing, to something as simple as showers, beds, and kitchens for employees should a very large disaster strike. To date, we've successfully supported over 750 client recoveries from events such as September 11th in New York City, you know, the London bombings back in 2005, and you know, various hurricanes here in the United States. But, you know, I'm thinking BCPM can also be helpful here, too, don't you think, Allison?
Absolutely. BCPM definitely helps by increasing automated testing for clients. I'll get into that a little bit more in detail when we cover how BCPM works in a few slides. But first, if we move to slide 15, let's talk about the challenge of execution. A planner's job is one of the few jobs in the world where the person involved in doing the work works so hard to craft something that they hope will actually never get used. But if it is needed, prompt and accurate execution, sometimes with very limited resources, is crucial to success. How do we maintain accuracy when the people who know the subject matter best can't reach their usual work sites or can't come into the office to work at all? How do we execute scripts if you can't get into the building or you can't reach the systems or your recovery area is now hundreds of miles away. The Tivoli Business Continuity Process Manager helps automate the key processes required to identify and recover critical business systems as quickly as possible when an outage occurs in order to reduce the cost to the business. It helps to ensure successful recovery via pre-tested automated processes.
And it can also be helped with other complementary services, right, like our Managed Continuity Services Group. And they help balance workloads and reduce application demand and data and system loss by providing a place for customers' data and systems that reside off-site and off-premise, but they're accessible 24 hours a day. And we also have a group called the Resilience Program Management Group, and they're a very hands-on service where we literally manage the day-to-day program for you.
That's great. So what does the future hold for business continuity in your organization? So if we move forward to slide 17, let's look at a scenario. Today, in many organizations, crisis management is a very manual process. Consider the following scenario that's illustrated on the slide. A trigger event appears at an operator console. Large numbers of people from many parts of the organization gather to offer information, to propose hypotheses and test solutions. You know those war room calls with lots of people on the phone. Lots of time is spent finding the appropriate recovery processes, finding the correct subject matter specialists, you know, who need to be involved to do the analysis, and lots of time spent communicating lots of information to people who need to either assist or authorize that some action be taken or receive status about the situation. Discussions get started, you know, urgent emails get sent around, and many people need to spend hours or, you know, at least minutes finding recovery plans, identifying who must be involved in analysis and who gets informed, who has to search for context-specific information that needs to be available to the team and to review any deviations from plans that may have been documented, you know, some period of time ago. If you think about this in terms of BCPM, the Business Continuity Process Manager builds upon the planning and analysis that was done in the earlier phases that Linda and I have just discussed earlier in the business continuity life cycle. Remember, there's that circle coming back again, and allows you to automate business continuity and recovery actions by implementing your recovery plans as automated workflows. These recovery workflows have knowledge about the different kinds of outages that may occur in the environment and the steps needed to recover from these outages based on previously conducted business impact analysis and risk analysis. The picture on the slide here is illustrating how BCPM receives the trigger message during the crisis scenario and then executes the steps needed to resolve the issue using the knowledge that's built into the recovery plan. This knowledge includes the type of system or failure that's involved in the crisis, who the best person based on their specific work role is to analyze the issue, who can approve actions that need to be taken to resolve the issue, again, based on their specific work role, who must be informed about the outage and notified based on their role and responsibilities. The recovery plans make use of the analysis data and can include actions that are taken programmatically through automation or manually through human intervention. By using BCPM, you have the ability to ensure that all recovery steps will execute correctly and as planned during a crisis situation.
Wow, that's really exciting. It takes my breath away to be able to automate that very critical communication that has to happen at crisis, because That never happens when everything's going right. But, you know, we really profess that we don't want to do event planning. So how can we be certain that everything will occur just as you say that it will?
Well, you know, most companies don't do disaster recovery planning because it's time-consuming, it's expensive, And, you know, potentially it has the ability to cause damage to production environments. With the testing and simulation capabilities of BCPM, customers have the ability to dry run or test without endangering their business critical workloads. The testing process generates a simulated version of the disaster's trigger event so that the process steps can occur naturally without the disruption of an actual disaster. BCPM's recovery plans and tests are flexible and are adapted to each situation that is appropriate to your specific business. This allows real and complete testing of the actions that you wish to occur in the event of an actual disaster with minimal time, cost, and impact to the environment. If we look at slide 18, BCPM also makes it easier to establish and maintain the business continuity lifecycle as the fabric in the company by easily sharing information with the upfront business impact analysis and its ongoing updates. You see on this particular slide that there's information gathered during the business impact analysis process that can be shared with the automation framework in BCPM to create recovery workflows and to maintain business continuity information. You see in the back portion of the slide the screen from the MyCoop tool that's being used as an example. You can use MyCoop, you can use other similar analysis tools, or even standard spreadsheets to transfer information into BCPM.
Well, Allison, all of this automation sounds great in theory, but if I put my DR planner hat back on, you know, am I really going to gain more than just turning paper into an online document by doing this?
So, Linda, let's look at slide 19. By including BCPM in the business continuity lifecycle, the company gains a number of benefits. First, looking at the items in the top left box on the slide here, by moving recovery processes from paper to an online location, it becomes easier to maintain the information that's needed when a recovery must occur. And that information is much more visible across the organization. The top right box provides some information about the fact that BCPM makes it easier for everyone on the team to learn more about how the organization supports the business and to contribute to the accuracy of the recovery plan. In the bottom left box of the slide, we see that business continuity automation provides the ability to test and optimize recovery plans so that the organization has confidence that the planned actions will, in fact, recover the work environment efficiently and effectively when it's needed without disrupting the actual business. And in the bottom right box, we highlight that Business Continuity Process Manager provides something that is really quite near and dear to the hearts of many companies these days, which is an audit trail for the business continuity process that helps companies address the compliance needs of all of these many complex regulations that have been put in place in various countries around the world and which cause additional workload for businesses.
Well, you know, when you break it down like that, what you're showing me is really the challenges that we started off with that, you know, I've said I've battled personally for 17 years. This marriage of automation and process management really does kind of meet most if not all of those challenges. But, you know, it's as great as it sounds, isn't it going to be a lot of work for me, or you know, not me personally, but that business continuity planner on the ground?
Well, you know, as you mentioned before, the business continuity lifecycle doesn't really have a definitive beginning and end. It's, you know, in one sense, a never-ending process. But I always encourage teams to start small and build from there. Let me give you an example on slide 20. Here's an actual customer case study. During one recent activity, the customer identified a single application that was very important to their business and decided to start by providing continuity for that one application. The whole process of analyzing the requirements for continuity, the processes required to create the business continuity plan for that single application, the creation of the recovery workflow within the BCPM tool, and then the successful testing of the recovery plan required just 2 weeks. You know, 2 weeks is a relatively small investment in time and effort for the peace of mind and organizational confidence that results from knowing that the business can keep the lights on for that very application. And certainly customers can take and build upon that to increase their continuity and gain benefit. So let me move to slide 21. The topic of business continuity that we're covering today is quite expansive. What we've provided here today is, you know, just the tip of the iceberg of information that we could have in discussion about business continuity. So we're going to provide you with additional resources, hopefully that will help you explore the topic more fully. There are some links on this slide to additional information, not only about each of the areas that we've touched upon today, but also some forums that exist to allow further discussion about business continuity. And we certainly encourage all of the folks who are on the phone to participate in those discussions, and as well as our annual automation user conference where we will be discussing the topic next month in April. And on slide 22, finally, we would like to provide you with additional contact information. So if you have questions after we finish this discussion today, you can certainly contact either me or Linda. And we definitely want to thank you for sharing some of your valuable time with us today. We hope that we've provided some valuable information that's piqued your interest in business continuity, and that you'll continue to explore these ideas and how they best can be applied within your organization. As I said, if you have additional questions, we'll take them here today or via email at a later time. So at this point in time, I'd like to ask Dahlia to return to the call and begin our little survey about the discussion today and to determine if there are any questions from the audience.
Well, thank you, Allison and Linda. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a question and answer session with our presenters. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Let's go to our first question. Ladies and gentlemen, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to respond. Question 2. How was the level of technical information presented in this conference? If it was at the right level, please press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we'll pause for a moment. Question 3. In the past 12 months, how many planned and unplanned outages have you experienced? If 2 or less, press star 1. If 2 or more, press star 2. If I don't know, press star 3. We'll return in just a moment. Question 4. How automated would you describe your IT business recovery operations? If completely automated, press star 1. If completely manual and paper-driven, press star 2. If somewhere between manual and automated, press star 3. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back shortly with our final survey question. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1, and if no, star 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for participating. Now let's move to your questions. To ask a question, simply press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Remember, if you have joined us using a speakerphone, to turn off your mute function. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, star then 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment. We have no questions at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, one final reminder, again, that is star then 1 to ask a question. And we have no questions at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for joining IBM's Minimizing Risk Through Business Continuity and Disaster Recovery conference call. Thank you for your participation.